Welcome to the Evening Booze Hour.
Episode 125, you guys.
Hey there, Kate.
Hey, Liz. That was so good. We always forget to say our names. It's so bad.
We had some discussions about cutting down the beginning, and we're like, but we can't cut the names. That's the most important part.
I know, but we never remember. So we are actually going to try to introduce ourselves every episode. So welcome back. Welcome if you're listening for the first time. I'm Kate, and I am on the East Coast.
And I'm Liz, and I'm on the West Coast. And yeah, we just bring you some weekly weird news headlines. We love to talk about true crime, pop culture, celebrities. We got some sports for you today. I don't think we've done sports yet in 2020, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And
just a couple of bi-coastal bitches.
That's right.
A little chit chat. You know?
All the stuff you may have missed. We always hope to bring you new info. Learning is great. And these stories.
I know, but even if it's a story you know of, like, I always like listening to other podcasts when they're talking about something that, like, I've seen or I'm into. Like, I'm watching Love is Blind, you know? Mm. And, like, I love hearing what other people have to say about it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Just to get their opinion. Uh-huh. That's what this show is, basically. All opinion. Even though we have the name News, Evening Booze Hour, news content, you know, as the premise, but...
Yeah. Okay, so Liz, what are you drinking this fine Monday evening?
Yeah, well, tonight I actually picked up an old favorite of yours, and I'm having red wine. It's the brand is called Joker. It's really good. It's from Australia. It's an Australian dark red. I don't know what varietal, but it's very smooth and delicious.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. So I have stepped away from the lady in red. In a surprise twist, a surprise turn of events, I am drinking a Tall Boy White Claw I'm burrowing out right now. black cherry.
One of the best flavors.
I just wanted something like a little bubbly. It was also like really nice out today, so it actually is like perfect. And I bought this like a few days ago, so
refreshing.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good one. So I'm excited. So cheers to everybody.
Yay. Well, you guys know our drinking game. So get ready, you know, when you hear that. We might have some additions coming up. But just a quick reminder to send us your stories, your drink suggestions, questions, comments, concerns, eveningboozehour@gmail.com. And we're on Instagram at eveningboozehour, Twitter at eveningbooze. And drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. And we'll love you forever.
And ever and ever and ever. I feel like we have so much that do we just have to get into it? Like,
excuse me. Yes. I'm choking to get into it.
Let me keep talking. You just go ahead and take care of that.
I'm so excited to get into it. I'm losing my voice.
You literally can't handle it. Okay. So I just wanted to start off with an announcement that this is now a be positive show, as in like such people who have been in the news lately. Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Justin Bieber.
Yes.
And Amanda Bynes. This is Ben Bieber and Bynes. It's a be positive show.
They're all three
just making a comeback right now.
I know, making a big week for all three, like the last couple weeks.
I know. BBB. So, I think it's also like how more people should be. Be positive.
Just be positive and think of these be people when you do.
So, Ben Affleck has a new interview. I don't know who it's with, like Vanity Fair or something. And actually, I think
it was the New York Times, no?
Yeah, I think as of today, he's actually done a couple more interviews. expanding on some topics. But anyway, so he...
Yes, for his movie.
Yeah, I guess he went out, like, on it saying how he doesn't regret his back tattoo or, like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, we are huge fans of the Ben Affleck back tattoo. But, yeah, I guess he went on to talk about, like, how, you know, separating from Jennifer Garner was, like, the worst thing that's ever happened to him or something.
His
and, like,
regret, yeah.
Yeah, so there was a lot of stuff because he's pretty private, you know what I mean? Like, he's paparazzi'd all the time, but, you know, you never really hear kind of about his personal life. It's always just, like, whatever you see in the tabloids. So,
and a lot about, like, his alcoholism and recovery, really, because, like, the character in the movie, I think it's called The Way Back, that he plays is a basketball coach, sports coach, some kind of coach, and he is an alcoholic, which seems like, when I saw that preview, I was like, wow, why would anyone have Ben Affleck play this role? That seems really cruel to have, like, an alcoholic play an alcoholic. You know, we all have been seeing what he's been doing, but, I mean... He also knows
well, maybe
that life.
For him, though. Yeah,
right.
Like,
yeah,
knows how to act it because he's been there.
Lived
and
it. Yeah,
maybe
and it
might
help
for him
recover.
Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. And then we have Justin Bieber.
The cutest. So cute. Like, okay, I want to publicly apologize to Justin Bieber because last week I, like, kind of talked shit about his appearance and, like, that's. But this week I fell in love with him because I saw him on the James Corden show dancing with toddlers. Like, he was learning choreography from toddlers. They were teaching him and James Corden dance moves. And it was the cutest thing I've ever seen. And he was, like, so into it and so genuine. I was just like, oh my God, the Biebs is, like, so great. He's back.
We are proud Beliebers. Okay. We might be, like, you know, a decade too late, but We're Beliebers, I think.
If you want to see something adorable, find that clip and just, you know, enjoy having a smile on your face.
Yeah, it's so cute. It's so cute. So he's another positive force in this world right now. And then, of course, Amanda Bynes, who I think we figured out she has, like, another face tattoo above her eyebrow that we never noticed because we're always too, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I've seen it now in, like, several pictures. Yeah,
but it is pretty recent, and she's been posting up a storm lately. We know she got engaged to her fiance Paul. We don't know who he is, really.
We found his first name. That's legitimate.
Paul. He's the love of her life, and that's fine. And you know, I guess they were both in recovery. She said she actually, like, addressed her sobriety. She said she's been sober for a year, and so is Paul. And she also said, like, she addressed, if you'll remember, Bynesy at her worst was when she was, like, throwing bongs out of windows and calling people ugly on Twitter. And so she apologized for calling people ugly on Twitter, like, different celebrities, because she said she felt ugly herself and she was, like, so drugged out at the time, you know. She didn't know what she was doing. And then I think recently, I haven't watched this one, actually, she, like, is addressing her conservatorship. Like, she's kind of has a Britney Spears situation where her parents or guardians have to control her finances and everything. So I think she is maybe going to be going to court to readdress that.
Yeah, I think also it has to do with, like, paying for the wedding. And, like, it's basically going to determine, like, do her parents think this guy is, like, actually good for her? Or, because I think they would, like, they might give her the money if they, like, are okay with this. Because just because you're under conservatorship, like, she can be totally, like, quote unquote, fine now. But if the conservatorship isn't over, she can't, you know, have access to her money unless it's signed over, whatever, through the courts.
Right.
So, but
yeah. Okay. I mean, any legal decisions, you know, probably have to go through that. So,
yes. Right. Right. Like, right. So that's where you might be going.
the reason I'm adding her to this, like, be positive list is because I just love that she's, like, making these videos, sharing parts of her life with us, addressing things. She, like, before we never knew anything. I still think she's working on her recovery. But, like, I think that, you know, it's nice to, like, have some insight into her life because it's so easy to have, like, all these rumors start, you know, and run rampant. At least she's trying to, like, control things.
Yeah, I think, like, she might also be like, well, before everybody was telling me, like, not to say anything and look, like, happened with that. So, like, now I'm just going to fucking say it, you know, because it seems to me that she's been pretty much to the bottom, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Oh, and she has a clothing line coming out. So get ready for that, guys.
Yeah. So it was good to hear from her. And I do like her just kind of, like, little Instagram videos about what's going on, but we really like one about, like, the guy you're marrying. Like, tell us everything, Amanda.
Tell us more about Paul.
Yes. Who is Paul? Okay, I think we already went on too long about that one.
So I think for this week, our be positive list, if you know, in honor of all those people, take another drink, you know, give them a little extra love. They are doing things right and trying to be positive and change their ways. So good for them. Yeah,
exactly. Like, the most you can do is try, I guess, like the best you can do, you know?
Exactly.
Okay. Oh my God. I was going to talk to you about the movie Parasite, but I don't even think we can do that right now.
We could do it in Confidential Confessions though. So
yeah. Oh my God, that's perfect. Okay, and we won't do any spoilers or anything, but I just needed to, like, talk to you about it.
Be brief. Yeah. I gotcha.
So, yeah, so listen to that on Confidential Confessions and go right now to, you know, what's it called?
Patreon.com/Evening Booze Hour. Become a Patreon saint. They're the only ones who have access to our Confidential Confession minisodes that come out every other week.
Yeah, you should do it. It's a good time. Okay. Other thing I just wanted to say was that for all the other people who are watching Love is Blind, it's like a cult. I just had to say, like, if you're listening, if you're watching the show and listening to this, you need to know that they filmed this, like, few weeks in October 2018. So it's already been, like, over a year.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Since they filmed this. So these people have had to stay quiet on social media.
Oh.
Like, they could be married.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, right? Like, for over a year, these people have basically only been able to, like, post selfies, you know?
I mean, if you're getting paid.
Yes. So this Thursday, so tomorrow, if you're listening when we drop this, it's going to be the finale. So we will see finally who ends up together. And then these people will be free on social media again, free to post literally whatever they want. But they're, like, so scared because they're, like, on Netflix, you know, like, if you break their contract, like, you're screwed. Like, I'm sure they don't play around.
Right. Exactly. They're not going to chance that. So,
but I just thought that was, like,
fuck up, people.
Yeah. Stop. And they post them, but, like, some of them are, like, social media influencers. Like, all they do is post, but they can't, like, reveal anything about, like, relationship status with anybody.
It's so crazy. And, like, even if you are in that relationship, probably, I mean, not even on social media, you probably have to be kind of careful, like, where you go and, like, in public and just appearances.
Yeah, it's insane. So, anyway, I know, like, there's people listening who also love that show. It's so good. Okay. And then another thing that's going to be on Confidential Confessions, I think we're going to talk more about the Sarah Lawrence cult situation.
Crazy.
Insane. So there's an article called The Stolen Kids of Sarah Lawrence. And I highly recommend you read the article. It's about this father, basically, who's, like, a career con artist. He moves into his daughter's college apartment on the campus of Sarah Lawrence and just, like, lives there. He's, like, 47
I'm sorry. If your dad or Maggie's dad or my dad moved in, that would be a problem. April's dad, that would be a problem.
Yes, and this guy started a cult, like, legit. So it was in this house, basically. You know, there's, like, a bunch of people. I think they rented it. It was, like, a house or something, but it was still on the campus. I don't know. But so it is, like, literally... Oh, also, it happened, I think, like, 10 years ago or so. I think it's from, like, 2010-ish.
Oh, so it's just there. Coming out now? Yes.
Yeah, somebody finally, like, I think heard about it and was like, what? And, you know, did some investigation. And I think, like, Mark Wahlberg or something, like, wants to do this movie about, like, the Sarah Lawrence cult.
Good for him. Yes. I mean, so wait, and, like, with the cult, was there, like, your standard, and we can talk more about Unconfidential Confessions, but, like, what are they kind of, like, accused with, like, is it your standard cult, like, abuse type stuff, or, like, what was he, like, blaming them?
He was, like, basically, like, I would say it was more like a sexual dominance type of, like, situation.
So we got, like, a Nexium kind of deal. Yes,
it would be very similar, I think, to Nexium. You know, like,
yeah,
there were other, like, men involved, but he would, like, use them kind of in, like, sexual ways anyway. So, like, it was, like, whether it was a female or male, like, whatever. So it is, like, crazy that all this happened and, like, it's just now, like, somebody heard about it and was like, oh my god, what? So anyway, I think the guy has been arrested recently and he's on, like, $1 million bail or something.
Oh wow.
Yeah, they, like, arrested him recently, so that's what, like, a crazy thing.
His daughter, like, I mean, I feel like she had to be, well, either she was brainwashed herself probably, or, like, was in on it too.
Yeah, I haven't even finished the article. Like, it's a long article, but it's, like, really detailed and, like, oh my god.
Okay, we'll get into some of those details, yeah, in Confidential Confessions, because I need to hear more about this, like, modern day cults. What? Become a Patreon saint, you guys. Patreon.com/eveningboozehour, as little as $1 a month.
Yes, please, please, please. Okay, one more thing I wanted to just talk about. Was this Dateline episode called Where Are the Children? And it was, like, a couple weeks ago.
Oh, it's, I heard about
basically
it.
Basically ripped from the headlines. This lady, Lori Vallow, and her husband, Chad Daybell, who are, like, doomsday preppers and, like, podcasters. So, like, hey, fellow podcasters, but also you. Like, this.
Hey, we're coming there when the end of the days happens, okay? So, hey.
I mean... Okay, if you haven't seen the Dateline episode, I would highly recommend watching it. It's pretty long, but
is it intense? Like,
it's pretty intense. But basically, this couple, like, there's her ex-husband ends up dead because the brother shoots him. Like, his ex-wife. Is, like, just dies in her sleep. She's just, like, a healthy, like, 40-year-old woman, just, like, dies in her sleep, and of course he, like, buries her in, like, you know, 30 seconds, like, no autopsy here, like, it's fine, my wife just died in her sleep,
right? And
they had, like, 5 kids or something, and then her brother, who she's had, like, basically doing all these deeds for her brother ends up dead, and then
deeds?
So there's 2 little kids, JJ and Tylee, and it's her, like, adopted son is JJ, and...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and basically...
Okay. She's the mom of the missing kid. Okay.
Yes, but the son is her now dead ex-husband's, like...
Biological.
Baby. Yeah, it's not his son either. They adopted... Oh. Like, okay. From his sister or something. But so the JJ is, like, biologically related to the husband who ends up dead. And his parents are trying to, like, be like, where's our grandson? Like, and he's, like, autistic. He has a service dog.
Oh, my gosh. Like, okay.
And then he's, like, I think 10 or he's 7 or 10. And then Tylee is the woman's daughter from a previous marriage, and she's 17.
Okay.
But both the kids are missing.
My God.
And Lori, they like tracked her down. Okay. Keith Morrison tracked these down God in bless. Hawaii. God bless Keith Morrison. They tracked them down in Hawaii. The kids are nowhere to be found. Okay. Idaho, where they were living, gave them like a certain amount of days before they had to show like actual proof mm-hmm. of the children. And they didn't like show up for that meeting and were like still in Hawaii. So I guess they had like a warrant out for their arrest. So then the officials in Hawaii could finally arrest her. And she, since this has aired on Dateline, has been arrested.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yes, in Kauai, Hawaii. She's being held on $5 million bail
until her court. So,
in like,
do they believe the kids are still alive? Do they have they?
No, they because there was like this whole thing about the storage unit they had. Like they were selling the kids' stuff like on the curbside. No, not even selling it. They had it out and like it was like free, just like beds, like kids' beds and stuff. Like they had outside their house.
Oh my God.
When they were in Arizona. They were like Arizona, Idaho, Utah, back to Arizona, Hawaii, back to Arizona. Like it's crazy.
It sounds like, you know, like sometimes when there's like a lot of abuse going on, you like move from state to state so you can like not, you know, be tracked in a different system and you're not like in the child abuse system for that state. And oh my God.
I have like no idea, but like everybody used to say, oh, she's like the ideal mother, blah, 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 when she was with her ex-husband. And then all of a sudden, like, I think she met this doomsday prepper guy who thinks the world's going to end this January or this July. And,
we have even less time.
Yeah. Yep. So he like is like, oh, there's only going to be like 144,000 people who are going to be alive on, you know, once July 22nd, 2020 comes. And, basically, since she met this guy, everybody's like, she is not the same person. Like, it's insane. Like, and we haven't seen the kids and blah, 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 blah. So something happened.
Where, what does like, she say happened? Like, what is her
she's
story?
She's not saying anything. She's not saying anything.
Like, where are they? When people ask her, she doesn't say anything?
Nope. They just walk to wherever they're going. Her and the new husband, Chad Daybell. They just, like, walk. And she's just like, no comment. It's crazy.
Gosh.
But now she's been arrested and she didn't really have to say anything.
Yeah.
She was just saying like, yes, and whatever. Like, does she understand?
Right.
So I guess she's had like her trial or whatever is starting in March. So we'll get more answers. But like, yeah, the kids are just missing. And she's just gallivanting around in Hawaii. Like,
and so did the kids go missing in Idaho, like before she moved to Hawaii, or did they go missing in Hawaii?
Yeah. So,
just picked up and moved, even though her children were still missing.
Yeah. I think from Arizona, like then she moved to Idaho. Yes. And I don't know if like nobody had seen the kids since Arizona or once they got to Idaho. I'm not really sure. I can't remember.
Wow.
But anyway, so that's an excellent Dateline. But I actually have like legit notes on that. So we're going to go more into that because there are crazy details that we need to discuss, like details. Okay. So now I'm actually going to get on to my actual headlines if we have time.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Headlines.
Okay. So I have... I mean, I feel like this is kind of a major headline, but it's the death of Amy Harwick. So this was kind of like all over social media, I feel like. But so I'm just going to read from an article that I found. It says, noted Hollywood sex therapist strangled and then thrown from balcony. And it's allegedly by her ex-boyfriend, Gareth Pursehouse. He's being accused of breaking into Amy's Hollywood Hills apartment and killing her during a fight. Purse House is charged with murder and first-degree residential burglary with the special circumstance allegation of lying in wait. So, like, he was, like, waiting there to do it. Attack. Then he was arrested Saturday. That was his arrest. Posted $2 million bond. But then he was rearrested Wednesday, a week ago, on a no bail warrant. Okay. So I think he posted bail and they were like, oh shit, like, this guy's actually a danger to society.
Yeah, he threw her off the balcony. Yeah. This man is insane. It's disgusting. And she is the ex-fiance of Drew Carey, and that's why it's making a lot of headlines too, because he's obviously, like, shaken up about it. He said that even though they had called off their engagement, they were still very much in love, and, like, he halted production of Price is Right for a week. So, I mean, that's just devastating.
Yeah, he's actually, like, I guess it was, like, in a tweet, he was supporting an online petition calling for tighter stalking laws. So it's raised, like, this huge debate because, like, around domestic violence and stalking, because Amy had ended her relationship with this guy years earlier, but had, like, this chance encounter with him in January at a professional event where he was, like, being a photographer or something, and he made this huge scene and basically told her that, like, he ruined his life, and everyone was saying that she, like, immediately turned into her therapist, like, you know, trying to de-escalate the situation. Like, he was crazy, and she was probably so embarrassed. And in the past, Amy had filed for restraining orders against him twice, citing physical abuse, and the last one she had expired in 2015. You know, because it's like, oh, it only lasts a certain amount of time, and then it's done. So if nothing happens, like, either you say, like, okay, whatever, or it's like, do you want to go through, like, having to do all that again? But it's like, why is there an update on a, like, violent?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, years later, that was 2015, this just happened. So this has obviously been going on for that long, if not longer.
That's when it ended in 2015. So I don't know how long they even
were. He's still
were
obsessed with her, though, you know, still causing major problems.
Yeah, if you're that kind of person, like, you will never change. Like, I'm sorry. If you have serious, like, anger, violent issues, like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't think, like, you can probably do things to help you cope, but, like, it's like when people say, like, in serial, like, they'll see, like, a serial killer's eyes and they just turn black. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like that type of thing.
They just
that,
shut,
like,
it off. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, ugh, it's so scary.
It's so disgusting. And yeah, exactly. When are, like, what are you supposed to do? Like, you can't have, like, the police, like, watch you 24/7 probably, right? You know, but, like, if you don't feel safe and someone's made threats of violence towards you in the past, like, you're kind of on your own. Like, what does a restraining order really do? Like, it just gives you some, like, you know, justification in court, but, like, yeah, it doesn't really protect you.
Right, exactly. Well, and it's like, oh, okay, like, he hasn't bothered you in the 2 years that we've had the restraining order, so you don't need, like, oh, okay, you're just waiting, literally waiting for me to get attacked again to come in here and get a new restraining order. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Really so at least the only silver lining is that this is becoming, like, a discussion. So.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, so sad. No, that was definitely everywhere this week.
And then I have now a more lighthearted story.
Oh, good.
to bring us back up, because I am obsessed with this story. Like, I'm not even kidding. It's like one of my favorite stories ever. So a Zamboni driver was called in to be the emergency goalie.
I just heard about this. I love this.
So the team ends up winning. Okay. First, I'm just going to read this little excerpt from this article, and then we're going to discuss. Okay. After Carolina goalies James Raymer and Peter Mrazek. Oh no, I can't say all these like crazy hockey names. So the two goalies from the Carolina team, they left because of injuries. The Hurricanes were forced to turn to 42-year-old David Aris, who is watching the game at Scotiabank Arena with his wife. And I guess like the home teams are required to have an emergency goalie on call, mm-hmm. who's available to either team, like whichever team is playing, it doesn't matter. So this guy, I think his name is Aris. Aris entered in the middle of the second period after Mrazek went down, even though he allowed two goals on the first two shots against him. He made the next eight stops. So they actually ended up winning 6-3. And you should see it, like right now, you need to search on YouTube for interviews from this guy after he got off the ice, because it is like the most pure thing you'll ever see.
I know, it just seems so awesome. Like, it's just like, it seems like a Disney movie almost, you know, like one of those sports, like feel good. This guy is never supposed to be in the situation and then like saves a day.
Oh, this has to be a movie because it's too good. So he got paid $500. per a tryout agreement contract and was allowed to keep his jersey, which is like so cute. And he said like, I'm gonna like get the puck and like show it off to my teammates, because he works at he's a pony driver for the Maple Leafs American Hockey League team and for the Toronto Marlies. So I don't know if that's just like a junior or not junior, but but according to Fox Sports Carolinas, he's also a maintenance man at the Marlies Arena, the Coca-Cola Coliseum, I guess. So he's like works. He's a guy that's around the building all the time.
Yeah, that's so like, awesome.
He is. He knows the building. I'm sure he knows like all the players, everything. So he, interestingly enough, had a kidney transplant 15 years ago. So he was like not able to be like as serious about hockey, because I think he sat like 2 minutes on an NHL bench and they never called him in. So like that was the closest he ever got. So he never got to step on the ice as like an NHL player. Until now. Yeah. Yep. This is his time to shine.
I love these stories.
So feel good. They actually ended up making t-shirts like right after the game, because it was like such a crazy thing. So the Hurricanes made Aris t-shirts available for sale, and they later tweeted that he will be profiting off the shirts and that they would also donate proceeds to a kidney foundation. And like, I guess the governor or something of like North Carolina or South Carolina, I don't really know which Carolina it is. They were like, oh, we want him to be like a honorary member of like our state or town or whatever.
And I was give him the keys to the state.
Like, yeah, but he's Canadian. I'm like, he does not want anything to do with like coming to America. So
save it. Exactly. That is so cute.
You will never see a smile like on that man's face. So cute. Oh my God. So that's our feel-good sports story, and now switching gears a little bit, switching gears in the sports world.
So, yeah, we got a lot of stories this week. It's great.
Love sports stories. So this was actually sent to us by Shannon, one of our famous Patreon saints. Shout out, Shannon. Keep running. Keep running. Dropping plenty. Let's go. Sprint. She's our runner. She's our resident runner. Okay, so she sent this article, and it's about a soccer player who bit opponent's penis so hard that he needed stitches and is banned for 5 years. That's basically the headline. So I'm literally just going to read the article because it's insane.
I feel like we talked about this, though. Am I having deja vu? Like, maybe we talked about this on here before. Because this is, like, an update.
Wait, a soccer penis
bite.
Oh, wait. Did we? No.
It seems really familiar. Go ahead and read it, and like then I'll...
Please, we could have done it last week, and I would be like, what?
No, I mean, it was a long time ago, but I just like kind of, it sounds familiar, and this sounds like it's going to give us an update.
Now you're feeling, now like I'm starting to think so. Okay, let me read it. A French amateur soccer player has been issued a 5-year ban after he bit an opponent's penis so forcefully that the victim required multiple stitches for his wounds. According to ESPN, a player from AS Soetric attacked his SC Turville opponent in November 2019. During the altercation, the Soetric player managed to bite the victim's genitals so hard that he was sent to the hospital and required at least 10 stitches to close up his injuries. The two players were not named by local media for legal reasons. A disciplinary committee recently met to decide a punishment for the attack, the attacker, and gave him a five-year suspension. So maybe we did report on it when it happened, but we didn't know like what the outcome was.
An update.
Yeah. Okay. So the committee also penalized the victim. Penalized. Get it? Anyone? And he's banned until June 2020 for aggressive behavior toward his opponent. Witness accounts in particular were gathered in order to retrace the facts as accurately as possible. Emmanuel Saling, director general for the local soccer governing body, told French media outlet Lorraine Actu. Is anybody listening to anything I just said? Because that was the most boring sentence I've ever read in my life. A disciplinary committee recently met to decide a punishment for the attacker and gave him a 5-year suspension. The committee also penalized the victim, banning him until June 2020 for aggressive behavior toward his opponent. According to SB Nation, tensions between the two teams heightened after the would-be attacker and another Turville player got into a dispute during the game. The victim initially stepped in to play peacemaker during the fight. And it wasn't until the Soetric player found his opponent in the parking lot after the game that he attacked the victim's genitals. So it was a parking lot. Like, I thought this was on the field.
I thought it was on the field, too. But, like, oh, my God. Like, I'm so glad I don't have a penis that can just be dangling around and waiting to be bit off. Like,
waiting. It's literally every penis is just waiting to be bitten off.
This is gonna be a crazy person who tries to bite off your penis today.
You're just asking for it to be bitten off, okay?
Exactly. What was he wearing?
Oh my god, it's so funny. But no, it's funny because Shannon said something about like maybe she said something about a cup or somehow like, oh my God, like, what about his cup? But I was like, I feel like for some reason soccer players don't wear cups. Mm. And like, they don't.
They don't. Like,
in general, soccer players don't wear cups.
Oh, badass.
About it, it's like hard to run in them.
Yeah.
And like, they have such control over like the ball. And there is physical contact.
Running. It's just like running right back and forth.
Right, which I'm sure they were like compression underwear because then you have like things jingle jangling all willy nilly. Can't have that.
It's like such a situation down there for men. Like, no, thank you. God.
Running, ugh. Like, that is like the most disturbing thing you could ever picture in your mind. An old twig and berries running. Ugh. Frightening. I hope nobody's going to sleep soon because
you
have a nightmare. Jarring. The thought of it is jarring. Okay, I think we should move on. I'm done, and clearly this White Claw is doing its job because I can't stop talking.
Oh my god. Okay.
Microphone over to you. What do you have for us?
Love all your sports stories. So I also have a sports story, and I have to shout out Amber V, our modern romance correspondent, who was on last week for Valentine's Day, and she mentioned this story at the time, and so I had to look it up. And this is the story of one of the most elaborate catfishing schemes I've ever heard of. It's crazy.
God. I purposely didn't look into this so that you could enlighten me.
And it's a few years old, so this is like 2011. We're going to go back to 2011. But, like, I didn't know about this. It involves, like, there's a lot of victims involved, but the two that we're going to focus on today are aspiring model Paris Dunn, who actually goes by her stage name, Paris Dillon. She was 17 years old at the time. And pro basketball player Chris Birdman Anderson, who played for the Denver Nuggets.
I can't. Birdman. Great movie.
You might remember him. He had like tons of tattoos. He was all tatted up from like his neck all down his arms, and he had like blonde hair. He's a white guy, so you know, stands out a little bit. But yeah, so he was playing for the Denver Nuggets. So these two people were involved in this elaborate, were victims of this elaborate catfish scheme, and it's crazy. And thank you, Amber, for like bringing this to my attention. Like my husband, who follows the NBA, didn't know anything about it. So I just feel like it's one of those things that was like everywhere, but also really easy to fall under the radar.
Yeah, well, I feel like, okay, once you start talking about it, I feel like things will start like clicking. But catfishing wasn't like that crazy of a thing back then, was it? Like, I feel like it wasn't until like maybe a year after that it was oh my god, and there was like a show about it. And
yeah, because at this time, like, it really kind of centers around Facebook, I think, so there wasn't Instagram really being used. And so at the time, Paris Dillon was 17 years old, aspiring model, like I said. And then Birdman was 33 years old, playing for the Nuggets. And they, over the course of a few weeks, began to like develop an online relationship. And the story is like very, like I said, elaborate. So bear with me, people, because I'm going to do my best to try to explain it.
I'll let you know if I have no idea what you're talking about.
Thank you. So as you do in an online relationship, at one point you get comfortable and you probably exchange hundreds of messages and probably some nude photos too. So that's what they did. Paris even agreed to fly from her home in Riverside, California to Denver to meet Anderson in person. And like, in addition to talking to Chris Anderson, she was also talking to this guy who claimed to be Chris's best friend, Tom Taylor. And he was like, oh yeah, you should go out and see Chris. He's a great guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. Kind of encouraging her to also go out and visit Chris.
Okay.
So she went out there. They had consensual sex. You know, they had this relationship, hung out a little bit. And then like, you know, after Taylor went, you know, home, things kind of like, you know, died out a little bit. And so a couple different stories said that she was maybe now talking to Blake Griffin. Oh my sorry. He's another NBA player. And she was like, maybe going to go meet up with him. And when Tom Taylor, Chris's friend, found out about this, he started sending her really aggressive, violent messages, telling her that he was going to have her raped and murdered and thrown on the side of the street.
What?
He threatened to share the nude photo she had sent Chris, you know, posting her name along with her address, phone number, and everything else. And he had like this all set up online, like ready to go, and was threatening her. And she like didn't know what to do. You know, she's this young girl. She had already kind of lied about where she was when she went out to visit Chris Anderson, because she's the age of consent in Colorado, where Chris was, is 15. So technically what they did was like not illegal or anything, but you know, she was just afraid. But she felt like now it was at a point that she had to tell her mom and like get the police involved, because you know, it was getting scary and it was turning into extortion.
Mortifying to have to do that.
Yeah. You know? Oh my god. Yeah.
But necessary.
So yeah. So then a little later on in February 2012, Chris Anderson was playing an away game in Oklahoma City when he got a strange email and the email claimed to be, what's her name? I already forgot her name. Paris. Yeah, Paris Dunn. Paris Dunn's mom. And she claimed to say, like, she knew everything about what Paris and Chris had done that weekend. You know, her daughter was only 17. She had lied to her about it. And she was requesting $3,000 in exchange for, like, the situation to disappear. And Chris, like, gave the email to his attorney. His attorney, you know, responded back, like, go away. That's extortion. You know, this is his attorney, basically. Right. But now it's, like, now it's getting into these, like, legal matters where the law enforcement needs to get involved. So Chris is, like, now his attorney is now talking to them. Paris's, you know, family is now talking to them. So they start, like, looking into the IP address of where these emails are coming from. Mm-hmm. And it is from a very, like, a computer in a very small town in Manitoba, Canada.
I'm, like, literally so scared right now. I am on the edge of my
seat. I'm trying to build suspense.
You're doing so good.
Okay, this is crazy, you guys. So it's, the computer is traced back to this computer in Easterville, Manitoba, Canada. And there, a woman lives. What is her name? Her name is, oh my God, sorry. It's like the most important part of the story. Shelley Chartier, I think. Chartier? C-H-A-R-T-I-E-R. You know, but in Canada, I never know.
Chartier.
Yeah, Shelley.
Chartier.
Shelley Chartier lives there, and she takes care of her bedridden mother. And Shelley.
These people. It is always these people.
Yeah, Shelley is a bit of a recluse, you see. She, at one point, didn't leave her house for 11 years.
Shelley, no. No.
11 years. Like, yeah. So when, you know, authorities found her, her teeth.
I want to die if I don't leave the house in like 11 minutes. I'm like, if I'm in my house for like 11 minutes, I'm like, okay, I need to like leave. 11 years. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm going to try to get past this.
So she didn't go to the doctor or dentist, like, you know, in a lot of that time. So most of her teeth were gone. She had no outside friends. She dropped out of school at age 12 in sixth grade because she was bullied so much.
Oh, that's really sad.
It's really sad. So, like, the internet, and like you were saying, it is always kind of these people, like, people who rely on the internet as their window to the outside world.
Yeah. They literally have nothing better to do, for, like, a lack of a better term. They have nothing better to do than create a fake identity.
Yeah, it's like a fantasy world, you know, or just like something to, like, you know, stir up some drama, just give them some excitement in their life.
Creating your own, like, soap opera, right?
Yes.
It's like you are in control of a soap opera, basically.
Yeah, it basically is. It's like you pick your own characters. That's really what she did. So, like, over the course of, like, the time that she was doing this, which I didn't really say when it started, she made numerous fake Facebook pages and impersonated a YouTube comedian, a Playboy playmate, and reality star, Brody Jenner. And, yeah.
Of course, this comes back
to the Jenner. No, Kardashian.
Jenner. Yeah, it goes back to the Kardashians.
Always does.
God, yeah, now it's not like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, it's six degrees of Kardashian.
Of a Kar Jenner, yeah.
6 degrees of a Kar Jenner.
So yeah, I mean, this woman, Shelley, was the one messaging Paris the whole time and the one messaging Chris the whole time. They never actually really talked to each other and they had sex with each other.
Oh my God.
Like, they went and met and hung out and everything. And, like, when Paris was there, she was saying some stuff that Chris was, like, kind of like responding back in weird ways. So she brought up Tom Taylor, his best friend, and he's like, I don't know anyone by that name. And she kind of just like brushed it off, she said. But there were definitely like some warning signs ahead of time.
I am literally shook.
And so basically what Shelly did was like she saw, because Paris was an aspiring model, she would go around and like comment on different famous people's Facebook pages, like I'm a fan or whatever, just to see if she could get, you know, a response. And so Shelly saw her write that on Chris Anderson's Facebook page on a post one time, and she was like, oh, okay, this girl wants attention. I can like use that. And then she messaged her from a fake account she had created for Chris Anderson.
It's actually brilliant.
It is. It really, really is.
Brilliant.
I mean, these are the people who are so, like, desperate, you know, for attention in some ways, yeah, or, like, they're just putting everything out there that they're the most easily, like, the easiest ones who are going to, like, take the bait, I feel like.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Exactly. Wow.
Yeah. And so, like, now it's a bi, like, country affair. What do you call it? I don't think that's the right term, but international affair in Canada. The Canadian FBI is involved. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Our FBI is involved. Like, it's crazy. You know, and so Shelly does get arrested, and she goes to jail, and she's, like, on probation, and she's not allowed to, like, go online or anything like that. But she did say that going to jail actually was kind of beneficial, and like it helped rehabilitate her because it helped socialize her more since she was just like forced to interact with people.
Yeah, I was gonna say going to jail would be like a vacation for this woman. She hasn't left her house in 11 years. That is crazy.
Yeah, and then like when she got out of jail, she got a lot of, you know, therapy in jail too. You know, she said she could, like, kind of got over her social anxiety and whatnot. But she met her husband playing Xbox Live, I think maybe while she was still on probation, because one of the articles I read was like, how did she get online to like meet this guy?
They can go online in prison. They can go online. They have like Facebook pages and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but she like it was part of her probation that like she wasn't supposed to go online. So I think this was after because of her crime, you know.
Duh. Wow.
And like this guy, her husband now, he is in New York, I think is where he's from, and he flew to meet her in Canada, where she lives, like, on probation, came into her house and, like, proposed to her, like, that day, like, as soon as he got there.
It's blind. It's just like Love is Blind.
Yeah, it is. It is. And she, like, accepted. They got married in her kitchen, and she wore pajamas.
My kind of girl.
And, like, now she can't leave Canada because she does have a warrant for her arrest in Colorado, where Chris Anderson lives. So she can't go into the U.S. Otherwise, she'll be turned over. So her husband, like, goes back and forth between New York and Canada to visit her.
Damn. See, there is a fish for every hook.
Yeah.
Did I just make that up? I don't know.
It really is. And you know what? The internet might help you find that fish, or it might catfish you for $3,000 too.
I can't. You know what else is like a great, like, crazy story is like pyramid schemes.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like, love a good
the
pyramid.
The same thing. They prey on those vulnerable people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like cults.
Cults.
I mean, it's all the same thing. Yep.
It's all the same thing.
Yeah, all the same thing. It's a trifecta.
It really is. It's so true. That is the elaborate catfish scheme that, you know, involved NBA player Chris Anderson and almost ruined his career. Like, they came and, like, almost arrested him for because the girl was over the age of consent. It wasn't that, but it was, like, because he had photos of her. It was, like, child pornography.
Oh,
potentially.
Yeah. And though that's like
Yeah, I mean, all the charges ended up getting dropped, and they were like, you were totally the victim in this. But, you know, he was, like, trying to get signed to another NBA team for a while, and, like, his just being in the headlines, like, wasn't looking good for him, you know, so.
Wow.
Insanity. Wow. Amber B., thank you so much, because I thoroughly enjoyed that roller coaster.
Great suggestion. Please, seriously, send us your suggestions, because we love, like, looking into this kind of stuff.
Send us your catfish stories. My friend Amber G sent us a catfish story from her coworker who had been love schemed, and it was just a blog post, you know. And so, like, we want to read it. Do you know someone who's been catfished? Do you know someone who's, like, been love scammed and is now documenting it online, or has been covered about it in the news? Like, send it to us.
Yes, please. Oh my God. Literally nothing like a good catfishing story, you know, as long as it doesn't involve yourself or anyone you never love.
Exactly. Well, I mean, speaking of that, actually, our BuzzFeed quiz this week is the definitive catfish quiz to let us know if we are being catfished.
Oh my God. I feel like we probably both got the same thing. I mean, this quiz is kind of biased to, like, basically, it's like you're either in a devoted, loving marriage or, like, you're in an online relationship being literally catfished, and you are, like, honestly wondering if you're being catfished.
And we are both in devoted, loving marriages in real life, but of course we had to take the quiz.
Yeah, we had to. We had no other choice. No other choice but to do this. So, I think I speak for the both of us that says that, sorry to say, you are being catfished.
That is correct.
Who is catfishing us? Oh my God. Could you imagine? Like, who's one of our followers who, like, we don't really know? Anyone?
Oh my God. Yes. Maybe one of our Patreon saints is catfishing us. They're going to, like, make us send them all our money instead of we getting their money.
Julie, we know it's you. Oh my God. Okay. So it says, your online boyfriend or girlfriend is not the person you thought. I know this is hard to hear, but it's better to find out the truth now than to let yourself get strung along further. Remember that catfishing happens to the best of us. It's easy to find yourself drawn in by a fantasy. Consider this a learning experience and maybe take a break from the internet for a while. I guess we got to go on a social media break.
Oh my God. Yeah, catfishing happens to the best of us, NBA players and the like, you know?
Was that football guy?
Like, yeah, Manti Te'o.
Yeah. That was a great. I mean, it's a horrible, horrible thing, but it's a great story. You got it.
They're always great stories. And, like, there are always so many twists and turns. Like we said, another recommendation last week, we said Tall Hot Blonde, the documentary. That's a crazy catfishing story, too.
Yeah. That's so good. But literally, like, just think. All of us must remember watching that first catfish documentary. Or whatever, by the guys who ended up doing the series, Catfish. Like, who doesn't remember watching that and just being like, what? Because that's never happened to you. You're like, oh, like, who would fall for this? But then you're like, oh my God, like, a normal person, like, fell for this. Like, it's insane. Anyway.
Well, and people are getting away with it. You know, they were, like, the first ones to be like, no, you can't get away with this. You can't extort me for money. You can't, like, humiliate me. You can't do this to me. So
yeah, I know. I feel like nowadays, like, God, to be a catfisher, like, you gotta have some balls, because
yeah, that was a very short-lived, I feel like, you know, like, the height of catfishing was, like you said, right there, right after Facebook's, like, popularity, but before, like, all the other platforms, you know.
Yeah. Oof. Yep.
Too much to keep up with now.
Be careful out there. Good luck dating. Hopefully you're not dating right now, because you're probably being catfished.
And if you are dating, just remember to be positive, like everybody else this week.
Oh, that was so good. Just remember to be positive. Oh, I love it. Oh, and literally we're going to be talking in Confidential Confessions more about crazy shit. So we're going to be recording that next, and you'll hear that maybe Friday, maybe not. I don't know, but go to Patreon.
Every Friday.
Give us some, yeah, give us a dollar or so, you know, whatever. But God, we love you. And we just,
love you.
You're the best. Have an amazing rest of the week. Happy hump day. Go hump somebody. Consensually. Yep.
Consensually. Enjoy your hump day hump. And that's all the news that's fit to drink this week, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.